Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Oh, I need to do something. If you would, we need to pray for Johanna and her family. Johanna is over the nursery, and I know the nursery is, if y'all need the nursery, they have a TV and stuff in there. It doesn't bother me, but she's not able to be here because she left this morning to go to Texas because they're burying her sister tomorrow. And so we need to pray for that, her family. Lord, I just pray for Johanna and that family. And Father, I pray that you would console their spirits, Lord God, and help them at this time of loss. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and work in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your angels that are surrounding this place. And as the word of God goes forth, that it will be planted deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Thanksgiving is Thursday. And I know we are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. And as from your pastor, I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Take the time to thank God for the blessings that you have. You might say, well, you know, there's not much there. Well, just you thank him for who he is. And the sacrifice of the Father sending his Son for us. Thank him. Thank him. You know, many people have had to die to give us the liberty and the freedoms that we have in our country this day. And one of the things that we can have a time that our country puts aside. And I know it's become commercialized. That's just like everything else. But as Christians, we can go back to the main thing of Thanksgiving being what? A thanks unto our God. And at least our country takes the time one day a year to thank him for his blessings upon us and what he has given us. So, you know, I do want to wish you a very, very great Thanksgiving. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I just want to make mention of something, you know, and I know they're collecting the boxes. The Operation Christmas Child, we didn't do that this year as a church. And you might be asking why. I just felt that because of all the things that were happening, that I didn't want to ask you to fill up a box. That's why, honestly. I just felt with everything happening, you know, it takes a lot of money to fill it up and do and whatever. And so I just felt that, you know, I know some people have kind of lost their jobs and things are happening and, you know, cuts here and there. And I said, you know, I just felt like that wasn't an area that I wanted to go to this year. Now, next year, possibly we may do it because it's a great organization. Operation Christmas Child comes from Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, that they send these Christmas boxes to kids throughout the world. And they get that around the Christmas time or Christmas holidays and stuff, just to let them know that we care about them. So, you know, it's not that we have forgotten about it, not at all. It's just we felt that we needed to wait and not do it this year, and maybe next year we'll come around to it, okay? Thank you. Well, in Genesis chapter 18, look at verse... Chapter 18, look at verse 13 and 14. It says this, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Here we see Abraham and Sarah. We know Abraham and Sarah made some mistakes. Okay, and we can go into all kinds of things because the Bible doesn't leave them out. That's the thing about God. He doesn't leave things out. You know, we leave things out. We want just the good and no bad. You know, no bad. Oh, no. But, you know, Abraham and Sarah, God had chosen Abraham and Sarah to be the ones that would be the one to bring a son into the world, that through the lineage of that family, the Savior would come. God chose this man and this woman because they were righteous before him. We know Abraham came from a family that were idol worshipers. They even made certain images of idols, and they would sell them for money. And somehow Abraham got a hold of the true God of gods, the true Jehovah. And it says that God chose Abraham and Sarah to be the ones that the Messiah would come through, not direct, just the lineage of that line. That it would not be polluted in any area. But God chose them. Chose them. And it says this, that and the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, and we know about that, saying, I of a surety bear a child which am old. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because I want you to realize something. When God speaks to you something, when God tells you something, and you know, we live in a day and age where God still speaks to his people. He still does. He'll use his word. He'll speak with a still small voice on the inside of us. Whatever. God will use whatever things to point us to him. But when God speaks to you, we can rest assured that it will come about. That it will come about. Sometimes we get to the place where God will speak to us and tell us something. And because of certain things that are bombarding us from the outside or even sometimes on the inside, that we think, well, it's not possible. But God says it's possible. When the Holy Spirit speaks, which is a third person of the Godhead, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when he speaks to you or tells you something through his word, we can rest assured that it will happen. You know, one of the things that God says in the last days that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That he will pour out his spirit. That there would be a mighty influx of souls coming to him because of a hunger. But also we need to realize this, that God said he would do it. But also he's resting upon the shoulders of his people, us, to pray it into effect. You might say, well, is he relying on us? Yes, he is. See, people can't hear the gospel unless we speak it forth. People can't hear the truth unless we speak it forth in the love and the grace of God. But here we see Abraham and Sarah. They were waiting. God had spoken to them. They made some mistakes. Okay. But they did something right too. Their hearts were right. And you see, that's the difference. You take a man or a woman or a child of whatever, they may make some mistakes. But you see, God looks at the heart of a man. And God looks at the heart of a woman. and says, what can I do through them? How can I use them? Man, the one that, you know, we all make. But David, look at King David. King David, where God said he was a man after his own heart, would commit murder. Now, he didn't actually murder the man, but he had someone do it for him. He was like the mafia, you know. He had them do it for him. Really? Really? We can kill physically or we can kill with our mouth. But here King David, a man after God's own heart, had a man killed and committed adultery. And we say, oh, this man can't be used. Yes, he was. He loved God. But what's the difference? What's the difference? Is that when God said, David, you've done it. You know what David did? Now, this is just in a spiritual sense. But this is what he did. When God said, David, when he talked about the sheep, you're the one that has committed this. David didn't say, well, Lord, you know, I'm king and I can do what I want. But when God came to him and he said, David, you're the one, David did this spiritually. Father, I did it. Lord, forgive me. Wash me white as snow, Lord. And you can go and read in Psalms 51 what he wrote. That's the difference. The humbleness of heart. You see, the Christian church is not perfect by far. We all know that because we all know ourselves. We're not perfect. But in aspect of things, we have been forgiven by our God. And because we go to him and ask for help. We go to him and ask for forgiveness. We go to him and say, Lord, you've seen where I've messed up. Father, forgive me and help me. That's the difference. And we look to Christ and what he did. And really, as time goes on, the Spirit of the living God comes upon us and helps us to overcome things that have been weighing us down as Christians. See, God is in the business of salvation for his people, and God is in the business of sanctifying his people. That means cleaning us up. Not in the religious aspect, no, but by the Holy Spirit that cleanses his people. But it says Abraham and Sarah, God used them to bring the Savior into the world. Look at this part of the scripture. It says this. At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? When God speaks a thing unto us, we can rest assured that it will happen. I know, and you might say, wait, God keeps his promises, people. God keeps his promises. Look at this scripture. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. You have that scripture? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Well, that's good. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, keep that. With thanksgiving, that means thanks unto our God, let your request be made known unto God. He's saying, come before me. Come before him. Have you ever, I know each and every one of us probably, either we have it written down or not, we have it in our minds, the things that we need God to do. A list of things, you know, it could be, you know, praying for salvation for our loved ones, and we list their names, and we lay our hands on it, and we pray, and we say, Lord, touch them, bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, I come against the enemy that's trying to bring destruction. You know, and you might have a list of, you know, maybe you need another job, and you have that on your list, and you put that down, and maybe you're praying for finances for your family or whatever. You put that down. Maybe you're praying for other friends, other pastors. I know I have a list that I pray, and I write their names on, and I pray for them, praying that God would move upon their churches. Pray that God would change their lives. It says to bring our request unto him. God requesting him. But also, I have to realize this, as we have our list for ourselves, God has his list for us. God keeps his promises. Now, our list could be faulty. That's the truth. Just an example. Now, I don't know. We might be praying for another job, but God's saying, stay there. Or we might be praying for, now, salvation. We know that's according to the word of God. Okay. And all kinds of that. But have you ever asked God, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? It may astound us. It may astound. You know, not too long ago, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you the story about it. Here we are on Wednesday nights, Jelaine and I, we're praying, asking God to move upon this place, asking God to move. I was kneeling right there, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to pray for today. You know, just in that, and I just started praying in tongues and asking God to move, you know. Praying in tongues is still for today. Acts chapter 2 is still for today. It's still for today. God's still filling his people with the Holy Spirit. It has not been passed away or done away with. And as I was there, the Holy Spirit dropped something in my spirit and said, this is what I want you to pray for with these people. And I said, okay. And I got up and I took my tablet, because I keep a tablet, and I just started writing names down. And I said, okay, Lord. But first, before I wrote the names down, because I knew what he wanted me to pray, I said, Lord, what do you want me? What names do you want, Lord? What names do you want? And just started writing them, and I said, okay, Lord. And every day I pray about that situation with these people. I know without a shadow of a doubt God's going to answer that prayer. I know it. You might say, how do you know it? Because the Holy Spirit put it upon my heart, put it in my spirit, praying about it, asking God to move. Here's request. People, we need to get into the business of the Holy Spirit. What do you want, Lord? Holy Spirit, your request upon our lives. The promises of God. We see this. We see in Genesis where Abraham and Sarah, God promised them a son. And yes, they made some mistakes and, you know, all that stuff. But 1 year later, God came back and she was expecting and had a son. Had a son. See, God keeps his promises, people. God keeps his promises. The things that God puts upon your heart, you can rest assured. You don't have to run around saying, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. Look, it says you can rest in the Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your rest, that you're answering those prayers, Lord. He's in the business of answering the prayers that he puts upon our hearts. He's in the business of answering the prayers or the things that we're praying about that's according to the word of God. He's in the business of doing those things. That's the kind of God you and I serve. A God that will answer those prayers. The God that will answer our prayers. a reverence for him. I've never seen a lack of reverence for God like I see today in the church. I mean, it's bad. A lack of reverence. I mean, I'm not talking about walking around with, you know, that's what man thinks, reverence. But a reverence for him. I would never speak to God like I hear some people speak to God. Never. Never. I love him too much. If God, from this day forward, never does anything else for us, we have more to be thankful for than ever before. We cannot be Christians that are moved by our emotions. We have to be Christians that are stable in the things of God. And we know what our God says, what he says he will do, what he does, we will thank him for, and we will walk in it. That's the kind of God we serve. That we're not moved that, oh man, if I feel him today, I must be saved. If I don't feel him tomorrow, I'm not saved. No, no, no. We live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith in who he is. That what he tells us, he will do. His yes is yes, and his no is no. And when his yes is yes, we can rest assured that it will happen. The promises of God are ours. You might say, well, where can I pray? You can pray anywheres. What God only looks at is a heart after him. David prayed in caves. David prayed in homes. David prayed everywhere. And buddy, you can pray anywhere and ask God to move. Ask God to come upon situations. His promises are true. What he says he will do, he will do. But we need to get to a place as Christians that we serve God no matter what. That emotional stuff, that has to go. Now, hey, I want to feel God too, man. You know what I'm saying? We all want to. But you know what? If we never feel the presence of the Holy Ghost ever again, which is not truth, because we will, because the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is in our homes. That we get up every day and say, Lord, I'm yours. And I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. What God said he would do, he would do. Noah's Ark, and I know you know this story because I want to lay the foundation of this. Noah's Ark. God told that man, go and build a boat. Now, you know how stupid that was? Not on God's part. I'm not trying to, never. But in man's humanity, how stupid that was. It never rained before. Ever. Never, ever before. The heavens had never opened up that rain fell. You might say, well, how was the earth watered? In the mornings, from the earth, it would come up and would water. A mist would be upon, you know, the ground. And that would bring the water that was needed as far as with the vegetation and stuff. And here, God speaks to this man, Noah, and says, look, I want you to build this ark. You know, if Noah wouldn't have built the ark, humanity would not be here today. It would have retroactive been back to the place of void upon the earth. And Noah and his wife and his daughters and sons, the sons and their wives, the daughter, well, not Israel, his sons, I'm sorry, his sons and their wives, they helped build this boat, which was massive. As they were building that boat, can you imagine? It took years and years, people. As they were building that boat, and he told them exactly how long to make it, how high to make it, how wide to make it, what to make it out of, what wood, what pitch to use, everything. Everything, everything, everything. And we think as a church and as people, we can do what we want and have the blessings of God. There's no way. No way. We need to do what God says to do, how he says to do it, when he says to do it, and the blessings of the Holy Spirit will be upon us. They built this boat, and people would walk and laugh at them and say, oh, no, that crazy man and his wife and his children, they're all crazy, you know, laughing at them. But I tell you what, Noah said, God spoke to me. And as they were building, they would preach the gospel, hoping that some would come in with them. Because Noah and his wife and his children and their wives believed that what God said would happen, would happen. That rain would come from the top and water would come from underneath and flood the earth. That was faith that it took for him to believe. The promises are true. What God told Noah, it happened. What God tells you will happen. But you see, if Noah, God could have spoke to Noah, and Noah could have said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Okay. And just sat there, and no boat would have been built. And that water would have came and killed him, his family, and everything upon the earth. But he obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. He said, Lord, I know your promises are true, what you've spoken unto me. And it says, God called the animals in and they all came on their own. That's an amazing thing. Just that should have made these people run to that boat. When you seeing two by two, and then some were seven because of the sacrifices that needed to be done. So they needed more than two, okay? God knows what he's doing. But can you imagine when God called forth these animals, they came. Two. The door was open and they just walked in two by two into this boat. Can you imagine? As the call of the Spirit went out, no humans walked in besides Noah and his family, but just the animals. The animals heard the call and came in. And it says, God, when they were in there, it says, come in, and they all went in. The door was shut, and we know the water started. It says that it was like a rush of water, volcanic water that just came up from the bottom and from the top. Everything was open, a gusher of water. It wasn't like just a hose of water, a lot of water at one time. People ran to the mountains to try to get away from it and couldn't. God keeps his promises. You know, something else God said is going to happen soon is the rapture of the church. God keeps his promises, people. God keeps his promises. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that God will blow the trumpet. The trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You might say, well, man, we've heard about that for years and years and years. It's not going to happen. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. The church, as the most part, honestly, has been lulled to sleep. And that's the devil trying to lull the church to sleep. Because as they are sleeping, souls are being lost. Souls are being lost. And the devil loves it. But it says that God is coming for his church, his people. And then all kind of other stuff has to happen. Can't get into it, but a lot of stuff. The promises are true. The promises are true. Now I want you to look at this in Genesis. Genesis chapter 21. Praise be unto our God. Look at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. God keeps his word, people. God keeps his word. Oh, yeah. God keeps his word. God keeps his word. It's okay. That's okay. We've all been there. You know, everybody has children. I remember us having to stand way in the back of church and try to do all kind of stuff. You know, hey, look. We've all been just about all parents, so we know how it is. We know how it is. So you know, I try to, don't let it affect you. Don't let it affect. Hey, look, I'd rather have, at least I know people are alive. Baby's crying, good. You know, I don't want to be in a graveyard, you know. No. I don't want to be in a graveyard where it's dead. At least there's a little bit of hope. There's people are alive. But here we see God gave. God fulfilled the promise of the promised son, people. They said they were of old age, and I know Abraham was 100 years old. Can you imagine that? And Sarah was 90. Can you imagine having a son at 90? Can you imagine at 100? Instead of calling you mom and pop, mom and dad, they call you grandpa or great grandpa. There isn't anything too hard that God can't do. Sometimes the visions and the things that God gives us, because of certain circumstances, they're dashed against a stone. And there's no life into it anymore. We just say, Lord, I just don't see it. But don't give up. Don't give up when God speaks. Now, you got to make sure it's God, though. It has to line up with the Word of God. But when God speaks something, you and I can rest assured that our Father will make it happen as He gets us in line to get it around for us to do it, to get the thing done. That the promises that He gives unto you, it will happen. As we stay close to Him, as we rely upon Him, as we read His Word and we consume that Word and it gets deep within our hearts, as we pray and seek God and the Spirit of God is upon our lives and God directs us. And yes, we may make a mistake here or there and run against the wall, but that's okay. Just turn around. Say, Father, forgive me, and turn around and go on. Don't keep yourself down. Don't let people keep you down. Don't let circumstances keep you down. Don't let society keep you down. Let God bring you up. Amen. Let God see. Let be what God desires you to be. Let God be God in your heart and your life. And you're going to see God move in areas that you never thought was possible. The areas that you thought were dead to God or dead to yourself, God can bring life back unto it. Those things that God has spoken to our hearts and minds that we thought were dead, that God can come back in and say, Joe, remember? Oh, yes, Lord. Joe, remember? Or call your name out and say, remember what I can do. The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in God. Saying, Father, help me. Lord, move upon this situation. Let God be God. In your heart and in your life. Remember this. What He tells you He will do, He will do it. Just keep yourself right before Him and let Him do it. Let Him do it. Probably each and every one of us, I could call you up. We can hand the mic around and you can say, man, I've seen God do this. Oh. When it looked like it wasn't going to go anywhere, I saw the power of God move in this situation. My Lord, that's the kind of God we serve. A powerful God. Praise God. You may stand, please. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, we talked about how God keeps his promises. And what he says he will do, he will do. But I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know God? Have you accepted him as your Lord and your Savior? Does he live inside of you? You know, I guess the best way to kind of explain this is, and I know we don't like to think of this, but if something happened to us today, and I'm thinking of, you know, we died, you died, accident, whatever happens, whatever. And then just for, I'll say it this way, when you wake up, where would you be? Will you be at the pearly gates of heaven and them welcoming you in? Or will you be at the gates of hell where there's torture and gnashing of teeth forever? Not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight. Do you know him? If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're saying, I want to accept him, would you please just raise your hand so we'll know? Amen. Just checking to make sure. Amen. Everybody's right and good. All righty. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for your love towards us. And Lord God, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon your people. Father, Lord, help them to have the best Thanksgiving ever. Father, the ones that may need more food, give them more, Lord God. The ones that just need help with their families, help them with their families. Father, I pray that this would be a great day, a day of healing for your people and a day of help. But Father, we want to thank you for who you are. Protect your people and be with your people. We give you praise, honor, and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And I hope you have a great week this week. God bless you. Bye-bye.